The antidepressant withdrawal story from New Scientist has 140 comments despite its 150-point score, a high comment-to-score ratio that usually signals a topic where people have personal stakes in the discussion. The article reports that the medical establishment is finally reckoning with how poorly it has understood antidepressant discontinuation syndrome. For decades, doctors were trained that antidepressant withdrawal was mild and brief, a few days of discomfort manageable. Patients were reporting experiences that lasted months and were seriously debilitating, and those reports were systematically dismissed.
What's changed is a combination of patient advocacy, better designed studies, and a cohort of psychiatrists and researchers willing to take discontinuation symptoms seriously as a clinical phenomenon rather than a patient complaint. The radical rethink, framing in the headline, is the medical establishment catching up to what patients have been saying for 20 years. The HN thread has a lot of personal accounts, which the community handles with more care than you might expect.
The clinical implications are real. If withdrawal can last months rather than days, the tapering protocols need to be completely redesigned. Some researchers are now advocating for hyperbolic tapering, very slow, non-linear dose reductions, rather than the standard stepped reductions. This also changes how doctors should interpret a patient's mental health status during discontinuation, since withdrawal symptoms can mimic the depression the medication was treating.
The climate story, coral records suggesting climate change is strengthening El Niño, is quieter in terms of HN engagement, but scientifically significant. Researchers analyzed coral growth records from the Pacific, which serve as natural climate archives, and found evidence that El Niño events are becoming more intense. The mechanism is that warmer baseline ocean temperatures give El Niño more energy to work with when the cycle shifts to its warm phase. The downstream effects, stronger droughts, more intense flooding, disrupted fisheries, are compounded by each degree of baseline warming.
Now, I want to spend the back half of this segment on something we've been dancing around all episode. We've been fairly confident in our framing of the small model story, the idea that capable small models are eroding the economic case for large API-dependent models. But I think we should stress test that.
The what if we're wrong? Exercise. I'm on board. What's the strongest counterargument to the small model's thesis?
The most compelling version I've heard goes like this. Every previous wave of software commoditization has ended up expanding total demand rather than shrinking it. When PCs became cheap, it didn't kill the mainframe business, it created entirely new categories of computing that eventually made the overall market larger. When cloud computing commoditized server capacity, it didn't eliminate data centers, it created workloads that couldn't have existed before. The assumption in the small models narrative is that the use cases are fixed, that there's a pie of AI tasks, and small models will eat the portion that big models currently serve.
But what if capable small models actually expand the total surface area of AI use? What if having a capable model on every phone creates applications and workflows that nobody currently imagines because the capability simply isn't there at the right price and latency?
Exactly. If that's true, the frontier model providers don't lose revenue to small models, they gain new customers who start on small models and eventually need frontier capabilities for their hardest problems. The entire market grows. Under this scenario, OpenAI and Anthropic's API businesses don't face pressure from Llama running on a laptop, they face an ever-expanding frontier of what people want AI to do.
What would need to be true for that to hold? You'd need to see evidence that the tasks people use AI for are scaling with capability, that as models get better and cheaper, people don't substitute small for large, they discover new things to do. And I think there's actually some evidence for that in how the developer community has behaved. The introduction of cheaper, faster models hasn't reduced usage of frontier models. Usage of both has grown.
The honest answer is that both dynamics are probably real simultaneously. Some use cases genuinely don't need frontier capability, and small models will absorb those. Other use cases will be created by the availability of capable small models, and some fraction of those will eventually upgrade to frontier. The net effect on frontier model revenue depends on which of those two forces is larger, and we genuinely don't know yet.
If we're wrong about the small models pressure narrative, here's what to watch. Look at OpenAI's and Anthropic's revenue growth over the next 4 quarters. If their API revenue continues growing despite the proliferation of capable small models, that's evidence the expansion effect is dominating. If growth decelerates specifically in the commodity tier API segments, that supports the substitution story. The data is coming. It'll probably be visible in the next two earnings cycles from publicly traded AI infrastructure companies.